just want to repeat reading that moment of incorruptible body that will take place. When that time for each one of us to stand before the presence of God. Verse 50 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And that is how it's going to happen, by the way. So we can actually follow the thoughts of this message tonight, because this is how it's going to happen. And we shall meditate upon it because it's a serious matter before we will retire from this world. So 1 Corinthians 15, verse 15. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. What a moment of transformation, isn't it? You look forward to this? 2 weeks ago, I was just reflecting on what I'll share tonight, but the Lord led me to this very important topic. Verse 53 said, "For this corruptible must put corruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Be ye steadfast." For the third time, I'm going to repeat, including myself. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's right. Lord God, we thank you for this moment of reflection upon this reality that will not escape us. We thank you for the gift of life and the promise of eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. As we open our minds thy words, which will be open tonight, please continue to open our hearts and minds to this reality. Teach us to live with eternity in view day by day for the rest of our lives while still in this world. Strengthen our faith, deepen our hope, and anchor our souls in the victory of Christ over death. May your word bring comfort, conviction, and courage. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray all this for his glory. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
While I'm reading again this message tonight, based on this text, my mind went back to 1967, which is my equivalent of my secondary level in this country. My year nine. My year nine. That's I was probably 17 years old. Is that right age for you? And the entrance of the university, formerly a name Holy Angel College, and then before I finished my degree there, Bachelor of Science in Commerce, it was changed to Holy Angel University. Holy Angel University. Well, it's very strange because as you enter the gate, opposite the gate is a very, very popular shop. It is called a funeral parlor shop. As you go in at the back, you turn left, you will see a graffiti. Yeah. I don't know who put that there, but it's good it was put there because that reminds us of the topic that we're going to meditate tonight. It says, and I quote, "Today is your turn. Tomorrow will be yours." Does that remind you about that? Today is your turn. Tomorrow is yours. And that echoes the first sentence of what I'm about to say regarding death is swallowed up in victory. Death is the one reality. No one can escape. It crosses every boundary. There is no choosing. Death doesn't choose at what age you will die, or it will conquer us. The wealth cannot prevent it. Culture or power cannot prevent it. It silences every voice and humbles every throne. No invention from the time of mathematicians making life now better and better, because every mathematics is applied to structural form, structural building, to rockets, to jet plane, which makes our life better, and we enjoy it. No invention can conquer death. No medicine has cured it. Although they're trying their best to conquer cancer, but until now, there is no effective slowing down of death and put an end on it. No human strength has overcome it. And yet, in the midst of the world overshadowed by death, the scriptures we have read, Apostle Mark and myself, makes a staggering declaration. He will swallow up death in victory. What humanity could never defeat, God has promised to destroy. Let me repeat that. What humanity can never extinguish or defeat, God has promised to destroy. What has brought tears to every face, including you and me, stating that day by day, God has pledged to wipe away. What is mortal will one day put on immortality. Tonight, we are not considering wishful thinking or religious sentiments. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be emotional about it. Let's engage ourselves to it because it's a reality that will come. We are standing on divine promise. Isaiah prophesied it. Saint Paul proclaimed it, as was Right, with such emotion a while ago by Pastor Mark, Christ, our Lord, has secured it. Let us consider this great hope, that death swallowed up in victory, with true, very important spiritual truths, which is the removal of the veil, second, the defeat of death, and the comfort of the redeemed. All sum up in the triumphant phrase, death is swallowed up in victory. Let's come to the first spiritual truth, the removal of the veil, which is in Isaiah. let's quickly go to that verse. This is such a very thin paper, which is, I already done it some part pages, but then. I said 25. It says in verse 7. Isaiah 25, verse 7. And he will destroy in this mountain, in the face of the covering, cast over all people, and the veil that is to spread over all nations. He will destroy the mountain, in this mountain, the face of the covering, cast over all people. What Isaiah is speaking here is a covering that lies over all nations. It is the darkness of sin. It is the ignorance and perpetual ignorance and hardening of the hearts of men, which is described in Genesis chapter 5, that the whole heart of man and its continuous tendency is the simple heart of man and the continuous doing of wicked deeds. The ignorance of God. It is the shadow of death that hangs over humanity. Every culture, every generation lives beneath it. We see it in confusion about truth. We see it in the fear of death. We see it in the bondage of sin. But Isaiah says, God himself will destroy that veil. Praise God for that. That is our rejoicing. That which we cannot do, God did for us. God will destroy that veil. And this is fulfilled in Jesus Christ our Lord. When Christ came, life entered darkness. When he rose from the dead, death's shadow was destroyed. The gospel removes the blindness. The resurrection removes the fear. I will repeat that. The gospel removes the blindness so that when we hear the gospel being preached, that Christ died, was resurrected. Well, of course, he was buried for resurrection. And that is the victory that we have in Christ. Notice the intimacy of that word. Not merely tears will cease, but that God will those tears away. And he's doing that in his word to us. No more funerals when that time comes. No more hospitals. No more broken hearts. No more sin. What a transformation moment is that, isn't it? It's a great thing to look forward to. The reproach of his people will be removed. Shame will be gone. The struggle against sin will end. And the curse will be lifted up. It is the Lord who has spoken it, or has spoken it. If that is swallowed up in victory, why do we live as though it still reigns? Are you with me? If that is swallowed up in victory, why do we live though as though it still reigns? If immortality awaits us, why are we investing everything in what is perishing? Like the ostrich, for example, the ostrich, the long neck. It is possible to bury one's head in the sand and think the danger from the hunter has passed. But such security is false. The danger has not gone away. It has only increased. Conquest of the fear of death depends not on obstinate ignorance about its serious consequences, but on the sure knowledge that Christ our Lord has conquered death for all who believe in him. Christians need to be afraid of opening their minds to face the challenge of death fearlessly, because they will never find a reason to be afraid of it. Materially, the motions of the way, Pastor Mark and the Apostle Paul has put it together, we have no reason to be afraid of it. Yet, this is the big yet, many Christians are afraid of God. And there are various causes about it. It may be because we are not sure that we are in Christ Jesus. Therefore free from condemnation, according to Romans 8, chapter 1. It may be because we still doubt God's ability to keep us from falling away. Or it may be because we have not yet fully understood what the gospel properly means. Whatever the cure, or whatever the cause, the cure for this depressing condition lies in a deeper understanding of what God has done for us. A clearer realization that we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ, according to Romans 3:24, that Paul has mentioned. Our sins are reckoned as his. They don't belong to him. We did them against him, willfully. Yet, they became his. And his righteousness, which is not supposed to be us, is reckoned as ours. That is justification by faith. Justification means it's the application of Christ's righteousness upon our sin. That may be difficult to discern, but as we continue to trust him and accept him as your Lord and Savior tonight, it will become clearer by the Holy Spirit. The sting of death has been drawn. Let me go back to that verse again. Corinthians chapter 15. Let's go back to verse 55, 57. It says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, Where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who's given us the victory, given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Great good news, isn't it? If you are sitting there tonight, you have experienced that truth, this is the time to reflect on it and make a decision about it. Not tomorrow, but today, tonight. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, according to chapter 8 of Romans, verse 1. No more condemnation, because he did it for you and me. Is our sin became his sin, and his righteousness was poured out upon us. That's why there is no more condemnation for us. And because nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, according to Romans 8, 35 to 39, we may look forward with confidence to the perfect enjoyment of his presence. If God himself will wipe away our tears, why do we cling so tightly to this present world of sorrow? It's a timely question, isn't it? It's just like an opposite way of life. It's like living in a world that is upside down, or facing what you call two way of life. But Christ died so that we will only choose his way of life. The mortal must put on immortality. Not may, not might, but it must. The mortal must put on immortality. The question is not whether you still face eternity or not. You will. The question is, what condition you will meet? Has the veil been removed from your heart? The veil of sin? But tonight, if you're struggling with sin, there is only one way to deal with it, and that is through the fresh blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no way you could deal with it with your own self-righteousness. I met a man 3 days ago in the gym. I told him that I am, representing Christ, the church. I'm a Christian. And my only job to do is to share Christ. And he does the rest of converting a soul. Oh yeah, please don't convert me, sir. And I know when he said that, there's no point of continuing the discussion, isn't it? But I pray for him. I pray for him that he will go back to the reality that he needs Christ. So, the second point that I would like to continue to deal with that with tonight is the defeat of death after the removal of the veil. That is Romans chapter 25, verse 8, letter 8. He will swallow up death in victory. And the mortal was immortality. That is in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, verse 53. Death is humanity's greatest enemy. Kings cannot bribe it. Doctors cannot permanently delay it. Wealth cannot escape it. Every graveyard testifies to its power. You never change how old you are, or whether you are female or male. You can see that if you visit the cemetery, you can see babies, middle-aged, teenagers. It doesn't choose any age. So let's be prepared for it. Even though we cannot escape it, the scripture says death will be swallowed up. Notice the language. Not restrained, not improved, not negotiated with, but it will be swallowed up in victory, according to Isaiah chapter 25, verse 7. That will be swallowed up entirely, not partially, but it will be absorbed by the victorious resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the resurrection, what is corruptible will become incorruptible. What is weak will become powerful. What is mortal will become immortal. For the believer, death is not the end of the story. It is the doorway to transformation. That's why I have to repeat reading that a while ago. Then, verse 15. Seven. One day, this frail body will put on imperishability that cannot be perished. This dying frame will be clothed with immortality. Weakness will give way to power. You know, when you grow old like me, you will begin to feel the lessening of your strength. You can feel that. But weakness will give way to power. Sin will give way to holiness. Faith will give way to light, to sight. And yet, if we are honest, how tightly we cling to this present life. We say we believe in heaven. We sing about it. We preach about it with passion. We comfort one another with it. But how seldom do we long for it? So my two girls are in their 3 to 5 years old. They ask me, Dad, what does heaven look like? And then afterwards, why don't we begin to reflect heaven? They said. It's very important, isn't it? Because today, starting tonight, it is the only way and proper time to meditate upon it and begin to long for it. I think that is fair to say that when people have that longing, they are a blessing to other people. Which much sing their belief with a true day-by-day way of living. In other words, we are not only hearers of the word, but doers of them. There is a continuous transformation and separation from this world. So this victory is not wishful thinking. It is grounded in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he lives, death does not have the final word. And brings me to that favorite song that I normally sing and I am about it. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And because I know, he knows the future. That's why we can live with confidence that death should not actually cause us to be afraid. And lastly, the last spiritual truth, the comfort of the redeemed. Isaiah 25, verse 8, letter B. The Lord will wipe away tears from off all faces. Let me repeat that. The Lord will wipe away tears from off all faces. This is not a cold theology. This is a tender promise. This is a real thing that the Lord promised to us. We have tears sometimes. Day by day, look that there are tears that are unavoidable in this wicked world. But one day these tears will be wiped away. Every tear, from grief, from regret, from injustice, from pain, day by day, the sting of death has been drawn according to our reading a while ago, which I already opened it. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. And because nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, according to Romans 8:35-39, we may look forward with confidence to the perfect enjoyment of his presence. If God himself will wipe away our tears, let us not hold on to this present world's temptation. Because the mortal must put on immortality. Not may, not partially, or not might, but it must. That's why this mortal must put on immortality. And in the twinkling of an eye, God will give us that new heavenly body. Isn't that an encouraging moment for us to look forward day by day? And that actually lessens the fears, isn't it? Dear beloved, the question that we will finish tonight is that. It's not whether you will face eternity. We will face eternity. The question you're going to face, and honestly to face and willing to face, in what conditions you will meet it. Has the veil been removed from your heart? Is death lost its sting? Because Christ has taken away your sin, our sin. Are we living what is eternal or only for what is temporary? And I'd like you and for all of us to consider the last part of 15, chapter 15, verse 55, verse 57 to 58. But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, in preparation for this unavoidable moment that we cannot escape, this is the Apostle Paul's advice to every sure believers of Christ, followers of Christ. And I'm going to repeat it. Please read it with me. In fact, we can read it together so we can remember it together. In verse 58. Chapter 1 Corinthians, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That is a very practical encouragement of the Apostle Paul. While we are waiting for that moment, there is no wasted time, isn't it? Praise the Lord for that. Let's close in prayer. Father God, thank you for these words of yours, that death has been swallowed up in victory with the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the assurance of resurrection and the eternal life that you gave us. Thank you that this body is only a temporary tent. Help us to always anchor it, whether we are beautiful or handsome, this will go away. This is only a temporary tabernacle. And that a glorious transformation awaits each one of us. In that twinkling of an eye, God will change our mortal body to immortal body. Thank you for choosing us to trust your promise tonight, our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to live with such urgency, hope, and courage, even though there are tears day by day in our hearts, and disappointment and sorrow. Grant us this hope, this sense of urgency and courage, and teach us to fix our eye not on what is seen or what this world offers us, but what is unseen and eternal. Give us this sense of urgency, O Lord. Strengthen those who are weary, those who are not sure of their salvation tonight and outside of this room. Please continue to draw them to yourself and call unto thee and recognize thee as their Lord and Savior. But for those who are grieving as a result of losing their loved ones, every heart tonight, those who are facing the threat of life because of sickness, comfort them, including myself, about the victory found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when our time comes to put off this temporary tent, may we do so with confidence, knowing that death has been swallowed up in victory. In the name of our precious Lord Jesus Christ, we pray all this with passionate desire that we will see that transformation when the time falls for each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Let's think on Psalm 118, verse 21 to 17 to 21.